Welcome to Grow in Grace Podcast, where we want to encourage you to think deeply about God so that you can know Him and love Him better. Join us as we strive to grow in grace together. Welcome to the Grow in Grace Podcast. We are your hosts, Shanna and Kristen, and we are so glad to be back.
Oh my word, it's been so long.
It really has.
Of us having put out an episode, but for us to record. Let me finish a thought here. Good grief. Because we recorded some, we got ahead of ourselves and recorded a few different episodes, which is really great. But now here we are back recording again. It's
honestly, we're gonna come in hot too with this topic. So
we are. And it's so funny because we have, I don't know how many, let me look. Well, we had three episodes banked, and we were like, oh, we'll put them out. And one of them was, I think, the personal goals, right? And the gospel. And then we did Laura's interview. And then we had recorded ahead of time, God's Will for Your Life. We have another one that we have banked. But then we had Whitney's interview, I hope you all enjoyed that. That was the last one that we put out. And then so we got together to record today's episode and our topic, and we decided to switch it up. And rather than taking the one that we banked, we're going to put out this one. Because we decided, since we didn't put out an episode 2 weeks ago, and we'll get into everything that went into that decision. We decided to come in hot with a really important topic, but a controversial topic.
Controversial topic.
Especially in today's world and society. Yeah. So we'll leave you hanging on that while we catch up.
That's right.
Intrigued.
Well, yeah, Kristen, we made the decision 2 weeks ago to just kind of say, hey, our family comes first and there's a lot going on right now, and we just need to press pause for a moment.
Did I need to press pause?
Yeah. So why don't you maybe just kind of catch us up with your life?
Yeah.
What is happening in Kristen Fessler's world?
In Kristen Fessler's world. So about 3-ish weeks ago, my husband and I both got the flu, and it was terrible, absolutely terrible. So he came down with it Sunday night. I didn't come down with it till Monday. And Tuesday he woke up and was feeling okay. I was feeling terrible, had a really high fever. And he was doing great, was feeling fine. He pretty much was over it. He had had a fever the day before. And so Tuesday he ate lunch and went to the bathroom, and then was just had this massive pain in his side. And so he came out and he was like, hey, I got this pain and it really hurts. I was like, okay. Well, and he's had some issues. He has diverticulitis. And so when he had a bout with it about a year ago, and we were like, okay. So I was like, well, let's just keep an eye on it. Well, it just progressively kept getting worse and worse throughout the evening. Finally at 10 o'clock, I was like, okay, we're taking you to the ER. And so we went there thinking that they were just going to give some meds, pain meds, send us home.
And yeah, I truly thought it was his appendix, though.
We thought in everything that it was his appendix, was a possibility. We weren't sure. And so they take him in, we get him in, and they take him back very quickly. And we were very shocked because there were 7 or 8 people in the waiting room. And we were I had told him, I said, hey, he was sitting in a wheelchair. And I was like, it might be a little bit because, they triage, obviously, take the worst cases. I was like, there might be people that are worse off than us. What do I know? No sooner had I said that than the nurse comes out to take his vitals. And then he comes back out And we probably sat there maybe another not even 5 minutes, and they come back and they come out and get him. And so once we got back there, they were like, yeah, the nurse that took your vitals, she's been around for like a long time. And when she saw his number, she was like, we've got to get him back now. Like, we can't mess around. And so we joked around. I was like, well, you won that contest. Like, you were the worst off. So,
You're a
exactly, you won the prize of the worst in the ER that night. We're number one. So ultimately we went back and he had a CAT scan done, and that night they found out, or they were throwing out, like, so they ended up saying, yeah, there's an issue and they with your colon, but they weren't like exactly telling us everything. And the doctor was like, we might have to rush you into emergency surgery tonight or early tomorrow morning. So we can't give you any food. We can't give you any water. He still has a high fever. His fever started coming back, probably from like the pain and what was going on, but also he still had the flu. I have the flu. Like, we're both just not doing good. And so finally they admitted us. And so that's when they said, we're waiting for a bed. We're going to admit you. And that's when we both realized, like, oh, this is like, this, we're not going to get to go home tonight. And that started the beginning of a 4-day stay in the hospital for him. Ultimately, he didn't end up having surgery, but they did the following Monday place a drain, because basically he had an abscess that formed and they needed to drain all of that out. And so, yeah, that he still has that placed, and it's just been a trying and learning time for us with our
And so,
health.
like all that, the podcast was not at the front of
Yeah,
anyone's
no,
mind.
the podcast was not at the front of my mind. And like I said, we had some banked, so it wasn't like we needed to record, but I do all the editing and I have all the raw audio footage. And so it just wasn't in my mind to be able to sit down and put any kind of editing to it. And so Shanna suggested, she was like, hey, friend, how about if we just not put out an episode? I said, good, because I forgot we have an episode coming out on Monday. I
Oh,
think it was
what's
like
your
Friday or
answer?
Saturday. I was like, oh, good, because I forgot we were supposed to have something coming out. So that was not on the top of my mind. And it's still, I mean, it's been a busy, trying time within all of this. Like, both of his grandpas, one on either side, have gotten very, very sick. And now we're kind of just waiting for them to pass. And so it's just been a kind of crazy time for our family and our extended family, and just a lot going on. And so I really appreciate you thinking through that of like, let's just skip this week and not. It'll be okay.
It will be okay. Our families will always come first. So, I'm thankful that, I mean, we were just goofing off, before we started recording with your husband. And so I'm thankful that I mean, I didn't really talk to him or see him prior to this, but he seems to be in good spirits right
He
now.
is in
All
good
things
spirits.
considering, so.
All things considered, we're praying we go back on Tuesday, for them to do another CAT scan and hopefully to be able to take out this drain. It's not really, I mean, we're learning how to live with it, but just where it's placed is inhibits his mobility a lot. Inhibits his, showering and just things like putting on his shoes and tying his shoes, things like that that he just can't bend down to do. And so he's been living in like sweats and track pants, and even going to, like, when we've gone to church, he's like, I feel so like underdressed, like way underdressed. We're a pretty casual church. We'll wear jeans and things like that, but he's like showing up in track pants and a
Sweatpants.
sweatshirt.
I
So, whereas he's
mean,
like to go
that
to
sounds
church
comfortable.
during the winter, he's like jeans and a sweater, or something like that. So
I get that.
it's been it's been a trying
different.
time, but it's been good. Like we're both learning a lot and nothing
Yeah,
like
you're learning what sickness and in health means in your first
exactly. That's
year.
what we keep saying. We're like this, we meant it like in sickness or in health. Like we and when I was sick with the flu, he was taking care of me. And so this is just how it is that we trade off when we're each feeling better and the other one can take care of the other. 'Cause it just
That's
feels like
right.
there's been a lot of sickness this winter for us particularly. So I'm ready for spring. As crazy as it sounds, I'm ready to spring forward and get extra daylight this weekend. And
I forgot
yeah,
all about that.
that's this weekend. By the time they're hearing this, it's already happened. So we've all lost the sleep, but I'm ready for it because I just feel like it is ushering in
Something
spring.
new. Newness.
And yes, and like I want to open up my windows and air out my windows. And
Yeah.
yeah, just be done with the sickness.
I get that. Well, I'm glad to see your face on here.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's my update. it was yeah, there were days I think that I would just be like, I'm alive to you. Like I think there was several days where you were like, how are you guys doing? I'm like, we're still alive. And that's about all I can muster.
Yeah. I'm like, I
So
just needed to know that. I just
yeah,
needed to know you're
but
alive.
I'm super thankful that like my job is fairly flexible. My boss is fantastic. I mean, he is very much like you take care of you and your family first. My team has been really good. That's been really cool to see. I manage a team of six, and so each one of them, I try to share a little bit about what's going on, just as a like we try to be involved in each other's lives, and just they individually reached out to me, texted me, checking in on me, checking in on like Matt and seeing how he was doing, like offering to send me food and things like that. Just very, very sweet. And my church family did that as well. Like it was just really, really a great time. I don't do well with being ministered to.
Facts about that.
But it was a great time to learn how to just be ministered to. And it was just really cool to be ministered not only by believers, but by unbelievers. And just kind of how that all came about. And so it was really, really cool. But I am thankful that my job, like I can do my job from anywhere. And so I could just take my computer to the hospital room while he was there for 4 days and just worked from there, which was really, really nice and
Yeah, that's a
a
gift.
blessing. For
It's a
sure.
gift.
That was
Well,
a long intro
no,
of
you
what
needed
was
to give an
going on.
update.
I
You,
know. I
so
know.
it's all good,
Give
but
account for why we skipped a week, but or an
that's
episode.
all right. Are you ready?
But we are
Dive
coming in with a
into
bang.
this. Here we go.
Y'all.
Here we go.
Are you going to say the word?
Are
I'm
you? I
voting.
am going to say the
Well,
word.
they've already seen it because it's probably going to be the episode title.
Unless we don't name it that.
Oh,
I was kidding. It is. Okay. I would be so mean.
a bait and switch.
Tricked you. Okay. We are talking about submission today. And I think anytime we say that word, like as women or we hear that word, we kind of shudder. Like, it's like,
Yeah, we
ugh, I don't
cringe
like
and
it.
like, oh.
Right. And I think, sometimes it's because we kind of equate it with being a doormat, maybe, or like being taken advantage of, or told that we don't have a voice. Or not only that we don't have a voice, like we don't have a value, right? But true biblical submission is not about value, it's about order. So in this episode, we are going to discuss some common misunderstandings of submission, and look to the perfect person's example, Jesus's example, to reshape our understanding, as we seek to let scripture, not culture, dictate how we act and think about submission. I think, it's really important for us to realize as we're going into this conversation that everybody submits. And the prime example of submission in scripture are not primarily women. So we see that submission is a good thing. I think, especially in today's culture, and we're with how like how we grew up and like coming out of it, you'll hear some people will say, well, the problem with submission is this or that or whatever. The fact is, submission's not a problem. It's a problem for sinful hearts who don't ever want to be under any authority.
Oof.
But
Oof.
submission, I know, submission's a good design from God. I think one of the reasons that submission feels hard or even wrong is because we love to be in control. We don't want to be under somebody else's control. We want our own way because we think our way is best. Like that's just part of being in a fallen, sinful world. We think we know best.
Our pride.
And we have this false sense of security when we think that we are in control. Sometimes I'm always like, that's cute. That's cute that you think you're really in control. And I think another reason we get caught up with this word submission is because we don't really understand it biblically or what it means. And it's a difficult topic because it's been abused in a lot of circles, as we have seen. But just because it's been abused does not make it biblically untrue. John Piper once said, wimpy theology makes wimpy women. And so we're not going to shy away from this topic just because it's hard or because it's uncomfortable. We're actually going to dig deep and see what the Bible has to say about it. So, Kristen, I would love if you and maybe talk to us a little bit about who do we follow, our example when we're looking at submission biblically.
For sure. So, I find Romans 8 is really helpful when we're talking about submission. We mention a lot and we talk a whole lot around it about our purpose in life is to be more like Jesus. And Romans 8 tells us that all things work together for good for those who love God and have been called according to his purpose. I think we all have heard that tons of times. But that following verse in Romans 29 tells me that purpose. For those he foreknew, he predestined that they would be conformed to the image of his son. We know that all things work together for good, including submission, to help me be more like Jesus. And it says that it was predestined. The plan from the beginning of time is that we would be conformed to look like Jesus. That means that in Jesus, I'm going to see the original and intended shape of my life. So before we ask the question, what is submission? And we will,
Yes, we will.
we should and we need to look at the life of Christ if that's who we're supposed to look like. So first we can see that submission is modeled in the Trinity. And I'm gonna read just excerpts from several passages, but it allows us to think about who Jesus is as I read through these excerpts. So he is the Word, the governing power behind all things. God, he's creator of all life, light, the one and only. He's full of grace and truth. He's equal with God. He's God's son. He's the perfect image of God. He's the creator. Everything was created for him, and he holds all things together. He's the head of the church. He's supreme. He's fully God. He's head over every power and authority. And there's so much more that we could say, but just to get us started, that is who he is. A phrase we like to say is everything that is true about God is true about Jesus because Jesus is God. All of the attributes that we have learned and applied to God, those also apply to Jesus. So Jesus has all authority and power. It's sometimes really cool to think about how the God who created language came down and had to learn how to speak. The God who created our bodies came down as a man and had to learn how to walk and crawl. We know who Jesus was and is, but it's important to look at what he was known for. Scripture says that he came as a baby. He became a man, was a servant. He came to give his life. He humbly approached God with his request and then submitted to God's authority three times as he faced death in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was obedient to sinful parents.
That's wild.
I know.
That's wild. Yeah.
He came to do God's will and not his own. Because he loved the Father, he did exactly what the Father wanted him to do. He glorified God. He completed the work God gave him to do. He recognized God's authority. He became poor. He set aside his glory, not his divinity, his glory. And this is super mind-blowing.
Yeah.
I can't say
Yeah.
I always do the will of my father.
Right.
But yet there was one who walked the earth that had the right to do his own will, and he didn't. Jesus was saying, I will submit for humanity's benefit and for the glory of God. I think of Pharaoh in the Bible, right?
Yeah.
Pharaoh, who believed he was God, he said he was a son of God. And what did he do with that power? He made everyone else do all of the work. And now we have the one who actually is in control of everything, has all power, and he says, I came to serve. So
That's
there's a
like,
humility to it.
yeah, that's like the ultimate person that we are supposed to be like. And we see that he has all power and that he still came to serve. Man, that's really powerful. Let's maybe talk about what is submission. We
We said
said
we were going to
that
get to it.
we did, and here
We
we
are going to
are,
ask the
and we're
question.
going to sit here for a bit. We said in the intro that submission is not about value, submission is about order. And we can look at Jesus as an example, even again here, right? He was not inferior, he was equal to the Father, but he submitted himself to the Father. So often submission seems really undignified, right? But the Trinity proves that that's not true. Jesus was not undignified when he submitted to the Father. So when we learn to submit cheerfully, joyfully, to whatever authority we have in our lives, we get to learn the humility of Christ, like you said. We can't say that submission has to do with value when Christ's life was characterized by constant submission. We can learn to submit cheerfully and joyfully, knowing that we are being conformed into the image of Christ. And I think that's a really good framework to like lead us into submission. Everyone has to submit to someone. This is not only a women's issue, although society likes to emphasize it like it's only a women's issue. Submission in marriage is just one of the many, many, many areas of submission. And we'll also get there because that is a topic. But what I want to do is I want to go into Ephesians 5 because I think there's some really great principles that apply even beyond marriage that are more broadly about submission. And I think it'll really frame our conversation. Frequently, when Paul wrote letters, he divided them into sections. He would talk about beautiful truths and doctrines about God, and a variety of things that were related to that. And then he would have a section on practical living in light of that particular doctrine. So the theology behind Ephesians 5 should make a difference. So, like, let's do like a big over. I'm using my hands that they cannot see. A big overview, real quick. Ephesians 1 through 3 is really laying a base of like who you are in Christ. And then you have chapters 4 through 6 and how your life should be impacted by who you are in Christ. And then in light of this, it would be a mistake to start chapter 5, which is the like how do I live in light of this without understanding the why? Because that is breeding ground for legalism. Legalism and bitterness result when we take things out of context. So before we get to Ephesians 5, we need to talk about Ephesians 1 through 4. Are you ready, Kristen?
I'm ready.
I'm going to make this like
Rapid fire.
fast. I don't know. They can't hear my snapping, but I'm doing it.
No, they
Okay.
can't.
Ephesians 1, Paul begins by recounting to the believers in the church there at Ephesus the spiritual blessings that they have because of Christ. He basically tells them, you're chosen, you're predestined, you're adopted, you're forgiven, you're redeemed, you are lavished in love. You've received the down payment of the Holy Spirit within you. You have a guaranteed inheritance. And then he keeps going. And so Ephesians 1 is like, man, be amazed at what God's given you. Like, if I could summarize that, I would like, he's like, be amazed at what God's given you. This is who you are in Christ. And then Ephesians 2 gives us that before picture. So, like, if we're like, Ephesians 1 is like, look what God's given me. I'm good. I deserve all this. Paul's like, hold up. Let me remind you of who you were before Christ. You were dead. At that point, like, how do you even say, at least I had potential to be good? No, you were dead. You were living for yourself. You were objects of wrath. You were separated from Christ. You are without hope. You were without God. And then we get to verse 4, which I think is one of my favorite parts of scripture. And he says, but
But
God.
God.
Man, those two words. Paul says this, now you're alive in Christ. You've been saved by grace. You're seated in the heavenly realms. You're created to do good work. He says, and you were far from God, but now you've been brought near. You were in hostility against God. Now you're at peace with God, not just God and like one another. You were aliens and strangers, and now you're fellow citizens of heaven. And then in Ephesians 3, Paul just kind of talks about his own ministry and he ends it with a prayer for the church at Ephesus. And I really love it. He prayed that they would be rooted and established in love and that they would understand how wide and long and high and deep the love of Christ is. And then we get to Ephesians 4, and Paul says, like, this is how you should live. Would you read verses 1 through 6 of Ephesians 4?
Of course. So it says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith. One baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all.
I think it's really important to notice at the beginning of that, he says to live a life worthy. Their worthiness obviously had nothing to do with their deliverance because they were dead, right? But as a result of his saving grace, he says, walk worthy of the calling that I've already given you. He tells them to be humble and to love each other. And like, why does this matter? I mean, if you're going to be conformed into the image of Christ, we need to live out of his values. And those are his values. You've been loved like this. I've loved you like this. Now go and love others like this. And so Paul goes on for the rest of chapters 4 through 6 and tells the church at Ephesus how to do this. How do you stop living in your old sinful ways? And how do you start living in new and godly ways? Your mind has been renewed. You're now children of God. So then, chapter 5, he's still teaching them about living in new and godly ways. And then in verse 18, he tells them how they're now to live a life in the Spirit. Would you read verses 18 through 21?
And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and everything, always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ.
So, a life controlled by the Spirit is characterized by submission, submitting to one another out of a reverence of or worship or fear or awe for the love of Christ. This can't mean that everyone submits to each other because that would be like literal chaos. But it means that in all of our different roles, we're submitting to each other and we do it out of reverence for Christ. Now, One thing I want to address. I have heard people say that verse 21 talks about, we can apply that to marriage, mutual submission in marriage. This is not an umbrella verse for verse 22, but for the chapter as a whole. So, this idea of mutual submission in marriage is not a biblical term. We'll get to that. We see where it says, wives, submit to your husbands, children, submit to your parents. But if we're doing mutual submission, then like I have to submit to my kids.
That
Right? Like, can we think about
doesn't
that for a
happen.
second? That's not happening. God put me in authority over my children. And I know that this can be like really confusing if people haven't studied it, and you just go from one verse to the next. I also know that we struggle to be submissive sometimes because we're scared, and that this gives us a way to say, okay, but like you have to do it too. Like you have to submit to me too as a way to deal with fear or even pride. But I love how when we see submission in various relationships, they all end in the phrase like, wives, submit to your husbands just as they submit to the Lord. Husbands, submit to Christ, just like Christ loves his church. Children, submit to your parents, just like you would obey Christ. So if we're living life like Coram Deo, I use that phrase a lot. It means like before the face of God. If we are living life before the face of God and out of reverence for him, then we need to live the way that he lived, and submit to the authorities that he has given us. So when we use this framework, given to us in scripture, it makes it easier to submit to our spouses because I'm actually really submitting to Christ, knowing that my husband is imperfect. He's a fallen, sinful creature too, but Christ isn't. So I'm ultimately submitting to Christ. Every relationship on earth kind of like hinges, right, on our relationship with Christ. Like every single one of them, we behave in our relationships here because of our relationship with Christ. And our relationship with Christ really is supposed to affect how we live with each other. And Paul knew that it was going to be really important for the believers at Ephesus to remember who they were before Christ and what Christ has done for them. And so I think that's why it's so important to take so much time here to remind us of our relationship with Christ and everything that he's done for us, because those truths should impact my relationships now, whether that's a husband, a boss, a teacher, a governing authority, whatever it is, it affects how I respond to authority because of my relationship with Christ. Wayne Grudem says, we can say then that our relationship of authority and submission between equals with mutual giving of honor is the most fundamental and most glorious interpersonal relationship in the universe. Such a relationship allows interpersonal differences without better or worse, without more important or less important. And when we begin to dislike the very idea of authority and submission, not to be very clear, he goes on to say, not distortions and abuses, but the very idea, we are tampering with something very deep. We're beginning to dislike God himself. And so I think when we're talking about this, it's all connected to Christ. If the Holy Spirit is revealing to us that we do not have a submissive attitude toward an authority figure in our life, this goes much deeper than, I just don't like submitting to you. We're saying, I don't want to follow what God has ordained.
Yeah.
Which
That
leads
was,
us, go ahead.
no, I was just going to say that was a lot, right? Like,
It
and
was a
again,
lot. We walked through
setting,
Ephesians.
I know we walked through all of Ephesians and setting that stage to lead us to what you hear most often, which is submission and marriage. And don't worry, guys, the newlywed is going to talk about submission and marriage.
It's
I
wonderful
think it's
because
really
you
funny.
didn't write the Bible, Kristen.
It's true, I did not. And I want to preface some of this in saying that we're learning right along with everyone. Like, just because we're talking through this doesn't mean we have it down perfectly.
We're not
And
bringing our husbands on here.
no, exactly. There's a reason they're not on here. And it was funny because when we've talked about doing this episode for a while. And I was talking to my brother actually about it, and what we wanted to do. And he's like, "Sis, that's really great." He's like, "It would be really, really great if you could do it like in conjunction with someone that speaks to the men as well, because there's that aspect of it." He's like, "Because those kind of do go hand in hand." And I was like, "Yeah, that's great, but we aren't dealing with the men. We're dealing with us as women, because that's primarily our audience." And that tends to be where the sticking points of submission kind of come into play. So submission and marriage. In Ephesians 5:22 through 24, it says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as the Lord." Oh, let me try that again. "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so all wives should submit to their husbands in everything." So, why do I submit? I remember all the spiritual blessings. I remember that now I'm united with God through Christ. I've been sealed by his spirit. And now I want to imitate the way Christ lived. And this is how he lived. He lived a life of submission. One of the things that I want to mention here, submitting to authority according to scripture is a choice that we make. Whoever's under authority is the one that makes the choice. And God's given different authority structures, different degrees of enforcement. So a police officer can give you a ticket if you choose not to stay under the authority of the road. If you speed, break the law, the police officer can write you a ticket for that. A boss can fire you if you don't stay under his or her authority. But it's very interesting that husbands and pastors are not given enforcement of their authority. And nowhere in scripture do you see husbands get your wife to submit. Kevin DeYoung says the woman is told to submit herself under her husband. It is a submission freely given, never forcibly taken. Verse 22 is telling me to submit myself. This really is the responsibility that we as women have to submit ourselves. And something that sticks out to me is that it's not about a capability of leading, but being obedient to scripture.
Yeah, so it's not like you're not saying women can't lead. We're saying the way the Lord, like the way
The
he has
way
ordained
he has
things,
structured things.
yeah, is that you are to be obedient to scripture, and it's a choice that you can make. I really love that language a lot.
Submission is a command in scripture. The beautiful thing is that I get to choose whether I'm going to obey God. Others don't make that choice for me. Submission is a way of life. It wasn't like Christ did his own thing and occasionally submitted whenever it felt right to him. It was his way of life. John 6:38, Jesus says, "I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." That was his whole purpose. Was to do the will of the Father. It was a way of life and it reveals our view of God. If I'm being submissive, it's because I understand the position or the role that God has for me is good. How do we know that? Because we know that God is good. It's God's perfect design. It's not about me, my human authority. It's about God. I'm not going to fight to take a position that isn't mine. I know that my ultimate authority is trustworthy, good, and he loves me because my ultimate authority is God. Psalm 119:68 says, "You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes." So when I'm unwilling to biblically submit, I'm saying, "God, you made a mistake and I've got to take it into my own hands to fix it. I can't trust you. I can't trust your good design." And in this case, my view of God needs help. Because biblical submission is not just willingly given, it's joyful.
That's so
There's a
hard.
joy to it. It absolutely is. I think of what it's like to be in a leadership position. There's people that need to submit to us, whether that's at work, whether it's your children, whether it's a volunteer leadership role or maybe being in charge of an event. Would I want someone like me under my authority?
Ooh,
Or am I the
that's a
one?
good.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't interrupt you. I'm
No,
saying
it's
that,
fine.
like, would I want to lead me?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Am
that's
I
really,
an easy person to
yeah.
lead? Am I making, and even in the context of marriage, am I making it easy for my husband to lead me? Or am I the one who's always pushing back on authority, saying I have a better way, or maybe rolling my eyes? Am I a joy to lead? Would I want me under me? I think that's really good for us to think about. How am I with those in authority over me, whether it be submitting to a husband or submitting to a boss or submitting to the police officer, those in authority, or your pastor? How am I with those in authority over me? Being a leader is a very heavy weight. A way to evaluate our heart would be to ask, am I consumed with this thought of if I were in that position, I would do it this way? Am I constantly going through that? If that's something that you think about frequently, it's probably a warning sign that you may not have a heart of submission. A good question to ask is, with any of my authorities, do I lighten their load or do I weigh them down?
You did really good.
Thanks.
So there's two ditches, right? And so we're going to talk about unbiblical submission for a second. What we are not saying is that all women should submit to all men. We are absolutely not saying that. We are also not saying that all women should submit just to, like, all authority, right? When authority is asking me to do something outside of God's word, that's not submission. All God-given authority has limits. God's authority does not have limits, but all God-given authority has limits. So when someone either doesn't have authority over you or is acting outside of the authority that they've been given, you do not have an obligation to follow. That's not a lack of submission. That's just following scripture.
Right. So, for
And
instance,
yes.
if they are asking you to sin,
Right.
that would be where it is not, oh, I have to submit to them, because if your husband is asking you to sin, if you are maybe married to a non-believer, someone who is wayward, and they are asking you to sin, it is obeying God first
Yes.
in that you don't sin.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. I was listening to a podcast a year ago, maybe, and I heard a really great example, and I wanted to share it.
I love this
It was
example so
I do It's
much.
so good. It's about someone acting outside of the authority they've been given, right? And so she said, I am called to submit to police officers. They have authority over me. If I'm speeding and a police officer pulls me over, then I need to do that. I need to pull over. I don't just keep going because I'm not in the mood to be pulled over, right? When he
That's
tells
how
me
you
to
have
pull
a high-speed
over,
car chase.
exactly. When he tells me to pull over, I need to do it. I need to submit to that. And if he gives me a ticket, I need to pay for it. But what if he then says, because I'm an authority over you, I'm going to tell you what you better make for dinner tonight? Like, that's ridiculous. You don't have authority to tell me what to make for dinner tonight, right? Like, this is a silly example. I'm not going to submit to that because you don't have, that's not within your authority. But this is like a really, this is the example that I really love. She gave the example of, like, what if her husband got sinfully angry and went to discipline their son? He tells her to get out of the room. He's not asking her to sin at that moment. Asking her to get out of the room is not asking her to sin, right? But he's going to hurt her son in uncontrolled, sinful anger. So what is she supposed to do? In this situation, the podcast that I was listening to, the husband and wife our biblical counselors. And so she asked him, she's like, you would never do this, but like in this scenario, what advice would you give? And this is what he said. He said, at that moment, I'm already acting outside the authority that God gave me. My attitude is sinful. My anger is sinful. He said, God did not give me authority to hurt my son. The minute that I was acting that way, she had no obligation to submit to her husband, but she does have the obligation and responsibility to protect her son. And I thought that was like a really good, because I know, and I've heard stories, even within the church, within the IFB, right? Where the woman just had to sit back and let her husband do whatever it was that he was going to do in a, if he's disciplining their child. And we just need to be very clear that uncontrolled anger, sinful anger is sinful, and
Right. We're not
you are
saying
not called to
don't.
submit to that.
Right. We're not saying don't discipline your child at all.
Oh my
But when
goodness,
it's
no.
out of, clarify that.
Please clarify
But
that.
when it's out of, when it's done in anger and uncontrolled anger, that is sin.
That is sin. Right.
And if that is going to be taken out on a child in a harmful way that is going to injure the child, then absolutely you have to protect that child.
You are, he told you to get out of the room, but you are not under the obligation to do that. You need to protect your child. But this, like this example, this is true of all authority, right? God did not call us to follow wickedness. I think that's like the bottom line here. So the minute that those in authority are acting outside of their God-given authority, it's not our responsibility to submit to that. All authority has limits, like full stop. So we have to be asking the question, are they acting within their limits? And if they are, then it is my responsibility to follow. Obeying God rather than man is true. I will never have to choose between a legitimate person's authority, using it legitimately and correctly, and obeying God. Like I will never have to choose those things. That I wanted to give like a caveat of like there is unbiblical submission,
Right.
and you are not bound by those things.
Absolutely. And so we to land the plane, we made it through, what is submission? What does that look like? What is unbiblical submission? We basically said that there's two ditches. I'm not submissive to God because nobody tells me what to do. Or anyone that has any authority in any way can tell me what to do at any time, and I must do it. So those are the two ditches that we are avoiding. We have to be growing in wisdom from God's word, or else we'll never know how this is applying to my life. Sometimes when we're in one of those situations and we're confused, there's beauty in the body of Christ. Hopefully, we have a trusted community where we can talk about these things and ask for wisdom and guidance. Our heart's desire should be to glorify God and to be conformed into the image of his son. And one of the ways that we do that is by submitting to legitimate authority that is acting within the authority God gave them and doing it joyfully. Our current cultural moment would say that we're free to live autonomous, and true freedom is found in following God's good design. Submission. So let me restate that, because I felt like our current cultural moment would say that we're free to live autonomous. But true freedom, I said and, but I think it should be, but true freedom is found in following God's good design. Submission is working as a united team, striving for unity, not autonomy. And we could probably go on even longer and talking about that aspect, that it's about unity, it's not about autonomy. Submission is humbly putting someone else's needs and concerns before my own, and then doing something to help that person. It's becoming like Christ, living for a purpose far bigger and grander than myself.
We did it.
We did it. It was probably a long one. I don't know how long this one was,
I don't
but
know.
we have some We had something to make up for, so.
Yeah, that's true. We will put some articles that I found helpful in our show notes. And then, yeah, I think we could talk about this topic in many, many different directions. But I really think it comes down to looking at our perfect example and who we're supposed to follow and trusting that he's good, in the way that he has designed and ordained for us to flourish. That's really what it is. Submission, godly biblical submission leads to our flourishing.
And
So,
one of the things that we didn't even discuss is that, it has this idea in the Bible of like almost a military order type thing. Is when we talk about it being an order, it's a military term, and that submission of there being levels. And it doesn't mean that one, like you said, it doesn't give inherent value, even though we like to place value on the head. It's not about the value, but it's about each person in that order doing their role for that unity aspect.
For flourishing, yeah.
Right. It's like the body, right? Everyone wants to be the head, but not everyone can be the head because that's not a functioning body. You have to have the other parts, and every person has to do their role and complete their role. So, we would love, I'm sure there are questions, there's probably pushback, because I know a lot of people fall all over the place on this. So we would love to hear that from you all. So if you have any comments, questions, if you want to write us an angry email about it, that's fine. We've got broad shoulders.
That's true. I can take it.
you can go to our website and be able to contact us there. We would love to hear what you have to say. That website is growingracepodcast.com. It's been a while since we plugged our
That's
website.
right.
And we're going to be just for those of you, if you were looking, I don't know. We did take down our store just because it had a monthly fee to it, and we hadn't really had anyone that was purchasing off of our store. And so those things aren't free to have up and continue. And so we just thought Wisdom looked like maybe taking it down for a time. And then maybe, for a month or so, and we'll let you all know when it happens. Putting up some new stuff in there, some new merch, and having the store open maybe for a month or so and paying for that, and then taking it back offline. Just out of trying to be wise with our finances,
Sure.
especially, I mean, Shannon and I do not make any money off of this podcast, and we put out money, and we're happy to because we do view it as a ministry and we love doing it. But just if you were on there and were wondering, that's kind of where that was that went.
Yeah.
And we'll for sure on social media and on our podcast let you know when we do have it up if you're looking for things, because I mean, I always love tote bags, and so our totes are super cute.
I get complimented on mine literally all the time.
They're so cute.
They are so cute.
Do
You
I
can take a
need more tote
picture.
bags? No. Do I always
And
accumulate
like
them? Yes.
our sweatshirts are so stinking soft.
They are.
I wear it
They
all the
really
time.
are.
Okay, enough of that.
So anyways, go to our website, write us emails if you have questions or comments about this one. We would love to hear from you. So until next time.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Grow in Grace podcast. You can find us at growingracepodcast.com for links to all of our social medias, resources we suggest, and to listen to previous episodes. We hope you can join us next time as we strive together to grow in grace.